Welcome to Not For Educational Purposes, a How Did We Get Here Productions production. In this podcast, we take random subjects we know nothing about and attempt to learn more about them using the internet while we careen off-topic and see how far away from the original subject we can get. This podcast is so unhinged that we lost the door centuries ago. There will be nonsense, chaos, a fair bit of swearing, and occasionally some triggering topics such as sex, drugs, death, blood, and other unsavory things. So if any of those things make you squeamish, or if you're under the age of 18, please listen at your own discretion.
Hey, welcome back.
Huzzah!
To Not For Educational Purposes, where we do shits and gigs sometimes.
That's what we're calling this one.
Yeah, yes. I'm Nova. I do the shits.
I am Kai, and I guess I do the gigs. I would argue that we both do both, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We can
figure it out.
You know what? I just like giving us labels. It's fun for me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I feel like who does the shits and who does the gigs depends on what we have eaten during the day.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I am not someone with tummy issues.
Oh, I am someone with tummy issues.
So is my wife. My wife is someone with tummy issues.
Yeah, I even have a shirt that says my tummy hurts, but I'm being really brave about it.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing it right now.
No,
but
no,
I do have one.
But you are dressed up really, really pretty today. I love it.
Thank you.
I love the vibes.
I had to take grad photos, so I had to, like, I had to find a shirt that was technically a V-neck, which sucks because I hate V-neck shirts on me. They're awful.
Is this grad?
So I cheated.
It's sort of a V.
It's technically a V, but it's more like some ye olden times bard shirt.
Yeah, which definitely
with flowers
fits
on it.
Fits the vibe.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I know this is, it kind of looks like bricks, but from here it looks like honeycomb on your shirt.
It is not honeycomb.
Yeah, it looks like it's supposed to be a like, brick pattern, but like my brain was like, oh, honeycomb.
Well, it's sort of like lines,
yeah.
I want to say. It's technically see-through.
Oh no.
I am wearing an undershirt.
Yeah, this isn't an after dark episode, though it could quickly.
This isn't an after dark episode.
It can quickly devolve into an after dark
episode. It could very quickly get there. It sort of depends on our subject matter for the day.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question that's like an after dark thing, but
okay, let's go.
I need clarification on it.
Okay.
Okay. So we all know that we listen to K-pop, right? So one of the songs that we've listened to recently, like when the last time Sabrina was here, one of the things that's used was champagne confetti. And in my brain, I was like, okay, so champagne confetti is like when you have champagne and you pop it and it like sprays, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is... That is the non-dirty version.
So that's what I was like, I looked at Sabrina, my lovely wife, and I was like, what does champagne confetti mean? And she went, oh no. And I was like,
oh no.
Because then my brain went to a worse place where we all know what water sports is. And so that's where my brain went. And I was like, because it's kind of yellow. And I was like, is that what that is? And then she was like, no. So,
but your clothes.
What? No, then she explained it was something else, and I do not wish to say it out loud. So, what is it?
So, you want me to say it?
Yeah. I feel like out of the two asexuals that run this podcast, you know more about dirty stuff than I do.
Well,
but you're able to.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I love that the exact song lyric is the example for this. That is top tier.
Oh no.
It's squirting is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's
it's the lady bit.
Yeah.
Ejaculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What for science? What is that?
Oh no, it's a real thing.
No, no, no.
It's an actual thing that happens.
I am very, very aware that that's a thing that happens. What is it?
Okay.
Because it's not pee.
It's
like other stuff and a little bit of pee, I think.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of urine and some secretions from the Skene's glands.
What is the Skene's gland?
They are occasionally called the female prostate because they function similarly to the male prostate, but they are not the prostate because we don't have prostates.
Yeah. No. So is that what becomes the male prostate in the womb when, because, you know, we all start out as lady and then the penis or you know, quote unquote, like assign when you're assigning whatever, like you saw, we all start off the same and then like either the penis comes out or it does not. And
yeah, you either start the same and end the same or you start the same and end different.
Yes, that's
how that works.
Yeah. Oh, man, biology's weird.
That's so weird. So the Skene's glands, which are also known as the lesser vestibular glands, homologous to the prostate glands in males, are two glands located on either side of the urethra. These glands are believed to secrete a substance to lubricate the urethra opening. The substance is also believed to act as an antimicrobial.
Why do they need to lubricate the urethra opening? Nothing goes in the urethra.
Hope not.
Yeah, no, that would be bad. Unless it's a catheter, and that's a whole different issue.
Ooh, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's like, I have a question on here that I probably will never ask because I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I'm really curious about
it. You can ask
it.
You can ask it. I just might not be able to answer it. That's probably what will happen.
Belly buttons. That is the question. Apparently, Sabrina told me to ask you on the podcast because it's much worse than we thought.
Oh, yeah. No, it's attached to everything. Yeah. I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
I saw a video about that on TikTok.
Oh, no. Y'all might have seen the same video, to be honest, because
we probably did. Y'all I think she and I have similar for you pages.
Yeah, like periods, you have synced up. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep making these episodes so dirty.
I love it. I do. I really do.
It comes from a place of innocence.
It does. And that's probably what makes it so funny.
So I'm like, what?
Okay, so the glands are surrounded by a tissue that swells with blood during sexual intercourse and secrete a fluid from openings near the urethra, particularly during orgasm. So it, I don't know, it feels, oh, interesting. So the Skene's glands produce a milk-like ultrafiltrate of blood plasma. Because they and the male prostate act similarly by secreting prostate-specific antigen, which is an ejaculate protein produced in males, and a prostate-specific acid phosphatase. Some authors refer to the Skene's glands as the female prostate, which is fine. They are homologous to the male prostate, developed from the same embryological tissues. So yes, if the prostate starts out as the Skene's glands.
Okay. Cool.
And then we'll turn into the prostate if you get the Y chromosome.
Yeah. Why is it...
And you're not intersex.
Why is it lubing the urethra?
I don't know if it's doing that specifically for that purpose.
Is that where the, like, luby stuff comes from? Like, the self-lubricating sort of...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's a different thing.
I am very curious about that.
Where does vaginal lube come from?
Yeah. I never had sex education. I grew up in the South in America.
We had sex ed, but it definitely didn't go that in depth.
This is why we can't have sex ed here, because I would ask those questions and be like, well, where does this come from? And why?
And why? And everyone would get very uncomfortable.
I don't understand why. It's a scientific question.
Well, all the neurotypicals would get very uncomfortable.
That is...
All the neurodivergents would be like, yeah, tell me, I'm curious.
How does my body... Well, look, that's their fault. How does my body work? The world was made for them, so I am happy making them uncomfortable. They make me uncomfortable.
Yep, same. Mm-hmm, I agree.
It's just not to all of the neurotypicals that listen to this podcast, we love you.
We love you guys. Because you guys are great.
You're probably a little bit neurodivergent if you listen to this podcast.
Probably. Sorry for dropping that on you.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't know by
now. But you know what? It's fine. It's better to find out now than later. It does not say what the quote unquote lubrication is.
Oh.
But that's a different question. How do I ask this? What gland this the poor FBI agent looking at my search history.
Yeah.
It's the Bartholin's gland.
What?
Yeah, the Bartholin's glands are located on either side of the vaginal opening. These glands secrete fluid that help lubricate the vagina. Sometimes the openings of these glands become obstructed, causing fluid to back up in the gland. Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Interesting.
It secretes a mucus.
When it says secrete, is there like an opening for the stuff to like because when you say secrete, I just think like a sponge, how you squeeze it and it all like comes out, so all the fluid bubble. But if it's like
that is not what I think of when I say secrete.
This is gonna sound really gross. It's like an anal gland in a
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then never mind. I know exactly what that's like. I've had to squeeze those out of dogs' butts.
Yeah.
It's a bad time. Same idea. I'm gonna have to work really hard to not think about that next time. Sabrina's here. Like, yay. Oh, gross. Okay, well, that's a turn off. Anyway, belly buttons.
But it's okay. It's not an anal gland, though.
That's
And the
true.
Thing that it secretes is a good thing.
Yes.
You want that.
Yeah. Mine's a little broken, probably, but that's okay. That's a little TMI. This is
it backed up?
TMI the podcast. No. It is not. I wish that was the issue, but no, it's just because my body's broken.
Oh.
I have other issues.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Belly buttons. Yes. So, okay.
You've
do you want me to try to do this from brain or from internet? Because I don't know if I can look it up here.
Hold on. Have you ever seen VeggieTales?
Very, 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 very long time ago. Not recently enough to probably understand.
Do you know the belly button song?
I might.
Okay. To everyone.
I can't think of it right now.
To everyone that has ever. I love that I get to talk about vaginal glands and VeggieTales at the same
and
time.
And VeggieTales!
This is the best. I love this job. But for everyone else that grew up with religious trauma, you probably understand the belly button song. It's baby, I need to tell you something. I don't got a belly button. Belly button, no. Oh, no, no. It's sung by a squash.
Of course it is.
And then a guy starts rapping. He's like, belly button, y'all. Oh, belly button. It's so bad. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do plants have belly buttons? Never mind.
I would argue that they do, actually.
Do they? Because they're like attached to the main plant through a little thing.
Yeah, if you take off the top bit.
Yeah.
And there's the little like button where the green thing was.
So maybe
that's technically their belly button.
Plants don't have belly buttons, but their fruits do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fruits have belly buttons.
Fruits have belly buttons. Oh God, this is gonna be such a chaotic episode. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm trying to find literally anything.
Oh.
I know what I'm looking for.
Okay. Too bad you can't just type in belly button and then it understand.
I wish, but
oh.
Reddit is such a strange place.
It's the best place. At least for our podcast.
Okay. So the belly button
okay.
is just to, for, I don't know, mini science lesson. When you're a fetus,
yeah,
and you are in the process of being a parasite within whatever vessel that is going to birth you,
yeah,
the umbilical cord is the thing that attaches to the placenta, which is the thing that takes all of the blood stuff from the person who will birth you, and it travels through the placenta into the umbilical cord and into you through what will eventually be your belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course means that at one particular point in time,
yeah,
your belly button was connected to your blood circulation. So it was connected to your heart. It was connected to your brain. It was connected to everything.
It really said head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
They really, really did. So at some point during, or I guess quite soon after birth, one would hope, your heart starts to do the job itself.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting it from the person who birthed you.
Doesn't it do that and by itself at some point in the womb?
It does. It starts circulating by itself, but you still get nutrients through.
Oh, yeah.
The other blood.
Yeah.
Because you can't eat.
Yeah, or breathe.
Or breathe. So you get nutrients, you get your oxygen.
Yeah.
The heart starts going, but it can't, it you know.
Yeah. You're still a parasite.
It circulates your, yeah. So at some point, after you start being able to do all of that stuff, the umbilical cord will fall off, your stomach hole will close up, and everything that was connected to that basically shrivels up and dies.
Okay.
Or stops being connected to it. Unless you have some underlying medical conditions.
Such as?
Sometimes, if you have... I believe it's I might be specifically endometriosis, but maybe not specifically endometriosis. Something will connect from your uterus to your belly button, and you might start bleeding out of your belly button when you're on your period, which is great. Love that for everybody.
How? It's not a hole anymore, is it?
But if it is... If you have an underlying medical condition and that is, if it is still remaining a hole.
Oh my God.
Then stuff will come out of it.
Oh my God. That makes me so uncomfortable.
Well, it's a very good thing that you don't have an underlying medical condition that causes this particular thing.
No. Most of my medical conditions are in my brain.
Yes. Yes, you have. There's probably, you've probably got a chemical imbalance somewhere in there, which is that's a later thing.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Yes.
I mean, a big part of it just has to do with living in America, but I don't think that's a chemical imbalance so much as it's just an environmental imbalance.
That's an environmental and societal imbalance.
Anyway, so what? Is it just, like, shriveled up tree branches all over your body? When you're an adult? Your belly button!
No. I don't think it is. It is a scar, technically, is what it is.
Your belly button?
Yeah. It's a, because it was open at one point. It is the scar from a wound.
I had never considered. We are, like, fucking balloon animal.
Yeah.
We're just like just like blow you up through your belly button.
Yep.
And then you fucking taffy stretch you off.
Yep.
Birth and making a human is just body horror.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
I'm not a fan.
No, I am not either.
I am confused as to where, like, I don't know. I feel like it was supposed to be more shocking. Like, the belly button thing.
Okay. So, you can get an umbilical hernia.
Yeah.
It would be considered an umbilical hernia if the protrusion, if you had a belly button that stuck out 5 centimeters or more. And it's also like half an inch wide.
Okay. I think I know what a hernia is, mm-hmm. but they can fix that. We had to look for that in puppies in vet med.
Yeah. The navel can also be involved in umbilical sinus or fistula, which in rare cases can lead to menstrual or fecal discharge from the navel. There we go. That's the one. Yeah. No. Menstrual discharge from the umbilicus is a rare disorder associated with umbilical endometriosis. So it's a whole thing.
You know you can get endometriosis in your brain?
Not surprised. Endometriosis is just... It's kind of awful.
What is endometriosis? It's like your uterus growing on the outside, isn't it?
Uterine lining growing on the outside.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Sorry, lots of body stuff.
That's okay. So in surgery, to minimize scarring, the navel is a recommended site of incision for various surgeries, including transgastric appendectomy.
Yeah.
Gallbladder surgery and umbilicoplasty.
They
to, like,
put a
make your belly button look nice.
They put a there's a scar in my belly button currently because that's one of the places that they like cut open to pull out my tubes. I don't know why there's three scars. I don't know why they did like three incisions because there's only two tubes.
What did they do exactly?
They took out my tubes.
Uh-huh, but they did something else at the same time, didn't they?
They did a endometrial ablation, which I think they go in from the vagina and they put a little like mesh cloth, I don't know if they did like chemical. I think they did the electrical one where they it's like a metal mesh cloth they put inside and they blow it up like a balloon and they electrocute it and
zap you.
Yeah, they zap my insides and set them on fire and you know, you can't have babies. Or periods.
Yay.
Yeah, it's nice. So, like, the healing process is not. It's terrible. But, you know, I can't have babies and I don't have periods. So that's... But I have three scars.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah. One of them's in my belly button.
Yes, but what is it? I don't want the symptoms. I want what it is.
Yeah. Well, this is for science. This isn't medical purposes.
So, endometriosis is a disease in which tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside the uterus. It can cause severe pain in the pelvis and make it hard to get pregnant. I don't care about that part.
We know that.
With endometriosis, tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside the uterus. We just said that. This leads to inflammation and scar tissue forming in the pelvic region and rarely elsewhere in the body. The cause is unknown. There is also no way to prevent it. There is no cure, but its symptoms can be treated with medicines or, in some cases, surgery.
Yeah. I've known some people that have to, like, get it scooped out.
Yep. It causes a chronic inflammatory reaction that may result in the formation of scar tissue. You literally just said that.
This is redundant.
Adhesions, fibrosis. Yes, you need to unredundantize your...
Redundicize.
It's not a real word, but I'm pretending that
it is. It sounds like a real word, so it is. We've just made it. This is a scientific podcast. This is where you learn stuff.
Science!
So it's real.
Hell yeah. This is super scientific.
Yeah. We real
so
educated.
Superficial, right? Many education. superficial endometriosis found mainly on the pelvic peritoneum. Cystic ovarian endometriosis found in the ovaries, deep endometriosis found in the rectovaginal septum, bladder, and bowel, and in rare cases, not in the pelvis, like in the brain.
Yeah. What the fuck? It can be around your butthole?
It can be, well, it would probably be around, it's not going to be outside your body, probably inside your body.
Well, yeah. I just mean like.
But yeah.
Around that organ that's connected to your...
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I've thought too much about it now. That makes me really uncomfortable. I'm not sharing that thought with people.
All right.
Anyway, do platypuses have a belly button?
All mammals have belly buttons.
They come out of eggs.
So probably not.
But they're a mammal.
Yeah, but they come out of eggs. They will have something. So like even egg animals are still connected to something.
What are they connected to?
Well, there's like they're connected to the egg or the thing that's in the egg.
The yolk? Or are they the yolk?
There's a sac. The whatever sac is in the egg.
There's
which I think is probably the yolk. How do birds happen?
How do birds and platypuses happen? So this is leading into platypus questions, which I feel like those two things are synonymous.
How do eggs work? There.
How do eggs work?
How do eggs work? I don't want to know how the chicken makes the egg. I want to know what happens in the egg.
Yeah. The circle of life. Just inside the circle. Well, I guess inside it's an oval. The oval of life. Oh, man. I feel like it should be more like the spiral of life, to be honest.
It's probably more of a spiral, yeah. Okay, so. No, I don't want that. Backyard science. Give me the backyard science.
Yes, we love backyard science. I gotta write down another
like
question.
Backyard science. Okay, so. Chicken development. So chicken egg has the yolk, which is the yellow orange bit. Okay, a baby chicken's egg starts as a tiny embryo inside the egg along with the egg yolk. The embryo uses the yolk to get the nutrients while it changes and grows into a baby chick. So the yolk is the egg's version of a placenta, basically.
Okay.
Except the baby chick probably eats it as well.
Like
it's food
in the thing, like it's like we do with belly button stuff, or
sure
they just have a mouth in the fucking egg and they're like yum yum. I like scrambled
slurp. It starts out in the yolk and consumes the yolk somehow.
Okay, so it's
as
like
far as it's what I can understand.
Pre-planned, it's like. Like pre-planned meals versus like other mammals that are just like, well,
yeah,
we will feed you when we eat.
I mean, birds aren't mammals.
No, yeah, but platypuses are.
Yeah, platypuses are mammals.
Why are platypuses? Why does the eggs not apply to them? What the fuck is a platypus?
Are platypuses mammals?
It's a fucking corgi. That
right, we've talked about this before.
That fucking deity was like, let me put a duck bill on it. Oh shit, hold on, add a beaver tail. Yeah. There you go, it's a new thing.
Yeah, so gene map, this is an ABC News, breaking news.
Yeah.
Gene map proves platypus is part bird, mammal, and reptile.
The fuck? Labels aren't real.
It is classed as a mammal because it has fur and feeds its young with milk. Birds do not feed their young with milk.
No, they feed them with vomit.
They don't have titties.
Yeah.
Mammals have titties.
A platypus has titties?
Yeah.
Where are its titties?
It might not specifically have titties because it's a weird creature, but it does have milk.
Where?
Most mammals have titties.
And they can walk around without a bra on.
Right? So rude. But also, I mean, most of those in domestic society are castrated.
Well, yeah, that's true. Honestly, I feel like I would like to be castrated. But yay! I'm halfway there. But you know that the first, like, the way that they discovered how to do fake boobs is they put fake boob implants in a dog, and they were like, they like looked.
It was a really bad time to take a sip of water.
They like just like, we'll just watch it for a little bit, and the dog was fine. It just had some fine ass titties, and they're like, we can put this in people. And that's how implants began. I think very little has changed about them too, which is bad because people can die. You can get really sick from fake implants.
Yeah, you can.
Anyway,
where are the platypus's titties?
I don't think the platypus doesn't, if I remember correctly, the platypus does not have teats.
Does it just secrete milk and they're like,
I think it just secretes milk out of its skin somewhere.
Do the babies just like lick it off?
I'm getting there.
Like a fucking lollipop, like a hairy lollipop.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yep. So, like all mammals, they produce milk for their young, but they have no nipples. So their milk oozes out of mammary gland ducts and collects in grooves on their skin, where the nursing babies lap it up from tufts of fur.
I have never been more hair wet, uncomfortable in my life.
And the babies suck on the hair. Ew.
The fuck? Who decided the platypus was a good idea?
I don't know. It's also poisonous.
yeah, I know. What the fuck? Is it? It's not venomous. It's just poisonous. Like, you just don't lick it.
Oh, I actually don't know if it's venomous or poisonous. I don't know it because there's a distinction.
Yeah,
between venom and poison.
Don't you can't lick it, or it can't lick you. But that's the difference.
Yeah, it is venom.
Okay,
it is venom.
So don't let it bite you. Do they have teeth?
Don't let it bite you. Do platypus have teeth? I don't know. The platypus is one of the few living mammals to produce venom. One of the few. What are the other ones?
What? Who else? Who? I mean, humans' mouths are really dirty.
So the venom is made in venom glands that are collected to hollow spurs on their hind legs. It's primarily made during the mating season. While the venom's effects are described as extremely painful, it is not lethal to humans.
So who is it lethal to?
Many archaic mammal groups possess similar tarsal spurs. So it is thought that rather than having developed this characteristic uniquely, the platypus simply inherited this characteristic from its predecessors.
So what do you mean archaic species?
Like mammals that aren't alive anymore.
Okay. So
it's mammals that died out.
Evolved
basically
from that, and that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would believe that the platypus is a dinosaur, let's be honest.
It probably is.
That thing is scary. Does it have teeth? Like a goose? God, have you seen a goose mouth?
Have I seen a goose mouth?
You have. Yeah. You are a goose
mouth. I am the goose. Yeah. Of course I've seen a goose mouth.
They're scary.
They are.
They're the ones with the, like, fucking wild tongues,
rows,
right?
Rows and rows of teeth. It's terrifying.
Do they have wild tongues, or am I thinking of something else?
Geese?
Yeah.
They got some tongues. I don't know if I would call them wild, but...
Yeah, they got too many teeth. Don't let a goose... I had a goose bite me on the butt once when I was a child, and it was scary.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's a funny story now. It's one of the least traumatic things that happened to me as a child, so.
I was kicked by a cow.
Where?
In the chest.
Oh. Did you break a bone?
No.
Do you have a bruise?
Well, this was when I was like 5.
Jesus.
5-year-olds are squishy.
That's true. They are really squishy. Your bones aren't fully formed yet.
Yeah, you got more bones when you're 5 than you do when you're 25.
Yeah. That's fair.
The people when I say that to people, they go, what? Like, no, it's true. You have more bones when you're a kid than you do when you're an adult.
Yeah, it's because you're like, still being, like, Lego pieced together.
Yep. Your bones have to fuse together, and then they become singular bones as opposed to multiple bones.
It's also why tummy time is really important if you're a baby. Yeah, you get a cone head because your bones aren't fused together yet, and they'll just, like, flatten out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Venomous. There are venomous mammals.
Okay.
You've got the diggy mammals.
Like moles?
Some moles, yeah.
Moles are venomous?
Well, no. So, there are 4 orders of mammals that have mammals in them that are venomous. These are not necessarily venomous mammals. Like, not every mammal in these 4 orders is going to be venomous.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
So, Eulipodophla. Don't ask.
It's the cousin to the platypus.
Sure.
I was making a joke.
Includes like hedgehogs, moles, shrews, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So there are some mammals, some mole, shrew, hedgehog-like mammals that are venomous, but not all of them are. Similarly with the monotremes, which are the platypi.
Okay.
Platypuses and echidnas, and that's it.
Okay. Are they...
Echidnas also lay eggs.
What is echidna?
It's a little hedgehog-looking thing with a beak.
With... What the fuck? How many mammals have beaks?
They're the monotremes. The monotremes do.
Okay.
So they're the only known group of living mammals that lay eggs.
It sounds like a family that belongs to the Italian mob.
Right?
Monotremes. They're all real big stoners.
Real big. So the monotreme species are the platypus and the flora species of echidnas.
Okay. I feel like we're going to need to put a picture of echidnas on
Instagram. I will find a picture of an echidna for this one.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And then we've got some primates are venomous.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like what? Who?
I don't know. Ah, the lorises.
The lorax? They're saving the trees.
The slow loris.
That's my favorite primate.
Yeah, they're venomous.
I love them. They're so cute. They've got the biggest eyeballs and they look concerned all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're venomous.
I love that. Can relate.
On bats, of course. Bats. Duh. Bats?
Are they venomous or do they just have like really filthy mouths? If so, what's the difference?
Well, venom is on purpose.
Okay. Yeah.
Filthy mouths are just...
Well, brush your teeth.
Existing.
Okay. That's fair. How do you not get poisoned by your own venom?
I don't think you eat your own venom.
Yeah, but what if you accidentally swallow it? It's in your mouth.
And you'll probably die. I don't know.
What?
Or get sick or something.
Is that how that works? Are they not just like immune to their own venom?
I don't want to know if... Okay. It was like, I typed in what happens when you eat your own venom, and it came up with what happens if someone eats snake venom. That's not what I asked.
That's not the question.
Like, not the question.
What happens if a venomous bat swallows his own venom?
Exactly.
What happens if a snake swallows his own venom? That sounds like a bad time.
So, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I like this answer. Okay. So, we are back on Reddit. Under r/AskScience.
Okay.
Love that.
We love Reddit.
Can a venomous animal die if it bites itself? The answer that I could find is yes and no. So whatever venom, quote unquote, or poison, gets in their bodies by eating prey full of venom doesn't kill them because their stomach has the enzymes to break it down.
Okay.
However, if another snake bites another snake, yes, it will affect them. If a snake bites itself, it would also suffer negative consequences. They're not immune to their own venom when it gets directly into their blood, but they can consume it because their stomach will break it down before it gets into their blood.
Well, I guess they do have to eat the animal that they put the venom in sometimes.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They can eat it,
mm-hmm.
but... If they bite themselves,
yeah, it'd be a bad time. So, like, just be careful.
So they can swallow their own venom.
Yeah. Okay.
But they can't if they're injecting it directly into their own bloodstream. Then there will be negative consequences.
Oh, that was a quick and dirty answer. Nice.
Love it.
So don't. Bite yourself if you're venomous, but you can swallow your own venom.
Don't bite yourself if you're venomous.
This is a PSA. Do vampire bats drink blood?
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah, but okay, do they, like, drink blood like they're, like their teeth are straws, or do they like lacerate something and then
that's
they like
not
go,
how vampires work.
You don't know that. You're not a vampire. And if you are,
that's
I
true.
Would be very upset that you have not offered to turn me into a vampire because we are best friends.
Sorry. I'm pale enough, certainly.
That's fair.
My understanding is that vampire teeth mm-hmm. are not used as straws. They are used to puncture wounds so that you may drink the blood that way and not suck it out of your teeth. That feels weird.
Yeah, no, that's... I still... Because, like...
Vampire bats do, in fact, feed exclusively on the blood of other animals. To eat the blood, the vampire bat is equipped with sharp incisor teeth that are used to nip a small piece of flesh. An anticoagulant in the vampire bat's saliva allows the blood to flow continually instead of clotting. They're like mosquitoes, but big and cute.
Yeah, that's fair. Mosquitoes are gross.
I hate mosquitoes.
Want
them to die.
Yeah, that's... They're awful.
If we could get off of the drinking blood, though, that'd be nice.
Yeah, okay.
I don't do well with blood.
We can move on from there. I'm trying to think of another thing that goes along.
Have your notes with you?
Huh?
You have your phone?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to stay on topic. Oh, why are frogs stupid? I've been saving this one.
Why are frogs stupid? I don't know if that's... Oh, and... Wow. I typed in why are frogs, and the first thing that came up was why are frogs so dumb?
Yeah, because they are. Like, if you just look at their little faces, there is nothing going on behind their eyeballs. It's just black voids.
There's a whole Reddit that's called Frogs Are Fucking Stupid.
Yeah, they'll like bite each other after one of them has already eaten something. They're just like, you have food. I'll just eat you. Like you're smaller than that guy, little bud. Or they'll try to, like, I guess I can understand them trying to eat fingies because sometimes fingies look like worms, but like.
Yeah.
They're so dumb. Is it because their brains are small? I say as someone who loves frogs, I think they're really cute.
They're real cute. They're just. Real dumb.
They're just real stupid. I don't feel like you can train a rat to do stuff.
Yeah.
You can't
rats
train a
frog. Rats are really smart, though.
Yeah. No. Rats are, like, real, real smart. They can make their own little basketball team. But, like, frogs, you can't train to do shit.
Yeah.
Because they're stupid.
I mean, they're just, like, basic survival instincts.
Do they just run off basic... instincts?
Yeah.
Do cats not? Do like some animals have higher levels of thinking than other animals?
My understanding of that is if you can train the animal,
mm-hmm.
if it can be trained,
mm-hmm.
then it has some sort of level of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
If it can't be trained, then it is just running on vibes.
Oh, okay. So. Frogs just run on vibes.
I think frogs just run on vibes. Honestly, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I love that. There's that little comic of like a quote unquote evil witch like turning someone into a frog. Be like, haha, you're a frog now. And why are you enjoying yourself? No, yeah. Wait, this wasn't supposed to happen.
Like, oh, no. Are spiders smarter than frogs?
Can you train a spider?
Spiders keep frogs as pets sometimes. At least there's a specific...
Then yes, I would assume that spiders are smarter than frogs.
I don't remember what species of spider it is, but there is one that like keeps frogs that are smaller than it as a pet. I think to like keep out pests or something.
Yeah.
It's really cute. But I've also seen...
It's the tarantula.
Yeah.
So in the Amazonian rainforest, tarantulas and frogs team up for a mutually beneficial relationship. The frogs get protection from the large spider living in its burrow and even hiding underneath it. In turn, the frog eats ants and fly larvae that try to eat the spider's eggs.
Yeah. That's so cool. I wonder if the spider tries
they're
to
like
train
little
the frog.
Guard, they're little guard frogs.
Yeah. Little guard frogs. They need to get it a little leash, and it takes it on walks.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you want to see my guard frog?
That would be a really cute t-shirt, actually. Just a little frog in like a knight uniform.
I'm the guard frog.
Oh, the guard frog.
That's so cute. See, I've seen even like the jumping spiders. I want a jumping spider so bad. But they seem more intelligent than frogs.
They're real smart.
Yeah.
Spiders are pretty damn smart.
Like, I'll watch them, like, they have their own little personalities. And, like, okay, frogs can have individual personalities, but most of the time when you get a frog or you see a frog, it's frog. That's the personality. It's just frog. It is frog. It's derpy. Yep. It's great. It's all vibes. But the little jumping spiders, all the little jumping spiders seem to have their own individual personalities, and they're very unique and very, like, in the way that they act, and it's wild. Spiders are smarter than frogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That has been determined.
Yes. Oh,
man. Do other animals keep other animals as pets?
I mean, if we're talking symbiotic relationships, then yeah.
Because there's fish I know that do that, like sharks and those little, like.
Yeah. The little things that clean the sharks.
Yeah.
There are many, many a large animal, particularly in the savannah.
Oh, like the hippo?
I was thinking more birds? Like wildebeests or rhinos, zebras. Those animals have like symbiotic relationships with birds. So the birds will eat all the flies that try to, you know,
hang
around the animal. I don't know if they would keep each other as pets.
But they're like friends.
They're like buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, they're also on the same intelligence level. And we have just determined that spiders and frogs are not on the same intelligence level.
Yes.
I love animals that get along. I think it's so, I love when anything gets along. I think it's so cute. I wish that was just how everything worked.
I would argue, so there are some cheetahs that live in, unfortunately, captivity, but I believe these cheetahs are rescues.
I do know where
they can't return to the wild. They're at a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. They can't return to the wild because they've been
injured or
either injured or
raised in captivity.
Raised in captivity, which means that they would die instantly.
Yeah.
So they live in sanctuaries, which is a place that like takes injured animals or animals who can no longer return to the wild.
Yeah.
Cheetahs keep dogs as pets.
Yeah.
They have a dog buddy.
They're like best friends. It's their emotional support doge.
Yeah, because they get anxious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they could live with other cheetahs because cheetahs are solitary animals, but they like dogs.
Cheetahs? Oh, yeah. Cheetahs don't live in packs, do they?
They're not pack animals, no.
How many cats?
But they get anxious.
Are not pack animals.
Well, so lions are, I feel like there's a difference. Because it's not that cats aren't pack animals. I would argue that they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're just
cheetahs.
Some of them are solitary and some of them are not. And I think house cats actually derived from the ones that are not solitary.
So I actually think that a lot of cats are more like people.
Yeah.
Like we're sort of pack creatures, but we're sort of not.
Yeah.
Like we can be by ourselves, but like we thrive more when we're with other people. Or like when we're
on our own terms, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like forced into a thing, but like we all collectively come together and are like, all right, I guess we'll get along. That's sort of how I feel like cats are.
Yeah.
So at least house cats. That's why they have colonies, but not packs.
I agree. Yes. That's what I mean. So I think cats are colony animals.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only cats that live in quote-unquote packs are lions. They're the only ones left that do that.
Really?
Why
did I think tigers did that?
Tigers do not.
Huh.
I think they can. I think tigers I think similarly to domestic cats, I think all cats are capable of having a colony, but I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I think they prefer to not. I think tigers might be more culinary cats.
Okay. That makes sense.
But lions are pride cats, so they're the ones that live together and work together and do that kind of thing. All other big cats live solitary lives with the exception of mothers and cubs. Sometimes. There are exceptions.
Okay.
And I say that because every so often you'll get like a band of brothers that hang out and eat food together and kill prey together, which is really unusual because usually the male cats like to murder each other.
Yeah. I feel like matriarchal things in the nature tend to be more peaceful.
Uh-huh.
than male groups.
There was a whole gorilla clan that they kicked out the dude.
Yeah, they were like,
and
go away.
They just kind of went, fuck you, you're being too violent. And then they raised all of their children. And all of those children, the male children included, didn't leave. They just stayed and they weren't violent. And like,
I wonder why.
Wonder why. Anyway.
I love that. I feel like a lot of ocean creatures move in. Well, I guess not like predators. Don't really move in.
No, predators do too, yeah. They'll hunt in packs.
Do a lot
dolphins,
of sea
whales,
creatures
sharks
move in like packs together then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Safety numbers. Unless you're like a big ass whale, but even whales move in pods.
Yeah. I guess that's fair.
The carnivorous ones move in pods.
Yeah. Well, there's not a whole lot of places to like hide, maybe, so it's like
you safety numbers, yeah.
Yeah. You're just like, I'm gonna hide within all the other things.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, the ocean scares me. That's sounds like a bad time. I do have some ocean questions for next time.
Ooh.
Some of
them can freak you out.
Look, I'm going to the aquarium tomorrow. As a fun time with my friend because she loves the aquarium.
Oh.
And I am terrified of anything in the ocean. So
why are you going then?
I don't know, because this was my idea.
Okay. Was it your idea because you want to make her happy?
No, it's my idea because I was curious. Because I made a trip to the Van Gogh like exhibit, like experience thing, and I was like, this is a lot of fun. I'd love to do this again or something like this again. And I was like, the aquarium's up here. I guess I could try the aquarium. So they're otters and I like otters, so
otters are so cute.
Really see those. Yeah. I love otters. They're so aren't they like unnecessarily violent?
Oh yeah, they're vicious.
They're terrible.
Hella vicious. They're yeah.
They
will eat you.
Yeah. I don't know why I find like cute little creatures out in nature. And when you find out, they're just like, they're terrible. They're violent. They're awful. I'm just like, that's hilarious. I love it. Like, me too. Ha ha. Anyway.
Want to do a shout out?
Yeah, let's do a shout out. Let's shout somebody out. Oh, man. I always am so proud of everyone that makes it to the end of these episodes. Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
I hope people often do, but I can understand if you get lost in the confusion.
Yeah, I get it. It's a
it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's
yeah.
fun. It's ADHD the podcast run by two autistic people.
It is ADHD the podcast. It's so true.
We can shout out John. John!
We Thank know you. John. John is Johnny Blaze, by the way.
Johnny Blaze! I love Johnny Blaze. He's been around since the beginning. Hi,
yeah, Keith. He's a sneaky spud.
Thank you for being a sneaky spud, Johnny Blaze. I hope you enjoy these. I hope you specifically enjoy these. I love when I start to get to know people, like if they've been around, especially for a really long time. on any of the platforms that I've been on. Like, I do recognize them, and I like recognize the handle, like Snicklefritz. I recognize them. Like, I like, oh, okay, I know you.
Everywhere.
Obviously, like, to, we're friends at this point, right? Like, that's how that works.
That's how that works.
Yeah. Oh man.
Also, hi Snicklefritz.
Hello.
They do listen to the podcast. I don't know if they listen to the Patreon one though.
Oh.
So.
Well, this isn't on Patreon.
I'll let them.
This is a shout out. This isn't Patreon part.
Oh, right. I always forget.
Yeah.
Hi, Snicklefritz.
Hello. Anyway. Well, you've come to the end. I think
we have come to the end. It's true.
Well, so we are. This is sad. It's where we come to say goodbye and we plug all our shit. And then you'll get to hear.
And then leave.
Yeah. And then you get to hear our beautiful voices next week where we talk about other stuff that's hopefully not as gross, like belly buttons.
Ta-da.
Yay! All right.
All right.
Well, you can follow us on Instagram, which is great.
We are at HDWGH Productions on Instagram. We also have a Redbubble shop that is linked in our bio. And we also have a Patreon, which is linked in our bio.
Yep.
You can please support us. We're poor.
Click like and subscribe for all the things. You can hear these and more of our beautiful voices also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and those places. You can rate us 5 stars. Please do that.
Rate us 5 stars.
More people.
Even if you don't like us. If you don't like us, you can leave us a complaint somewhere else, but please rate us 5 stars.
Yeah.
We want sponsorships.
Yeah. We just want more people to hear this so that we can all, you know, have an ADHD podcast together.
Yep. That's the idea. That's the great ideal. Well, love it.
Come back for more shits and gigs next week.
Goodbye.
This has been Not For Educational Purposes with Kai and Nova. Directed and produced by the How Did We Get Here Productions team. Our music is Elevator Music by Les FM. And thank you all for sticking around and not learning stuff with us.